Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
We all struggle with sin. And some of you here may say, well, I don't struggle with sin. I know, you just give into it. But you need to struggle against sin. You need to come to that place where you say, I am going to live a holy, pure, righteous life for Him. And taking God's word into our lives allows us to be able to win and be victorious over sin.
Unfortunately, we will have to battle temptation and sin as long as we live on this earth. We can be victorious in that battle with the help of the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, sometimes we forget we're in a battle, so we don't fight and we don't win. Claim the victory that has already been secured for us through God's Word as His children. With the continuation of Holding Fast the Word out of Philippians 2:16, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
I don't put all my trust in the Bible and believe in the Bible because it's archaeologically accurate. I'm glad it is, but that's not why I trust it. I don't put my trust in the Bible because it's scientifically accurate. It's exciting to look at the scientific accuracy of the Bible, but that's not why I trust it. You know why I trust it? Because God said in Psalms chapter 12 that He would preserve His word from generation to generation. And I believe God's word. I believe in time it'll all be proven. Prophecy is another thing. We talk about prophecy being fulfilled. That's God's signature on the Bible. We have thousands of prophecies fulfilled. As God shows us that He put in here what you and I need, and we can trust it. Now, what does the Bible say about itself? The Bible tells us that if we will meditate upon the Word of God, that we will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Now, meditating upon God's Word day and night, we're bringing it in, we're thinking about it, it's entering into our mind. We are meditating upon God's Word. It doesn't mean you cross your legs in the yoga style and make little circles with your hands and hum while you're thinking about God's Word. It means you are thinking about His Word day and night. It becomes a part of you. When that happens, you become like a tree planted by a river of water. Think about a river, you know, and think about the trees planted around that river. They're significantly larger than the trees that aren't planted around a river, right? Why? Because they tapped into the water source. God's Word is the water source when we tap into it. I have a oleander tree at my house. That's right, I said oleander tree. You might have an oleander bush at your house. Mine's a tree. I'm not kidding when I say this thing is over 30 feet high. It's right outside of where my pumps are for the pool. My house was built in 1968. I'm pretty sure that it's leaking. You know, underground, it's cracked and it's leaking. And that this oleander has tapped into that source of water that I am paying for, by the way, because that leak is there every single week, every single month in my water bill. But that oleander has tapped in. And the thing is, it's a freak. It's huge. There's stalks in it that are that big around. Like I said, it's 30 feet high. I keep looking at it and thinking, I got to do something with this. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. That's what the Bible says happens to you when you tap into the water. You become a tree planted by the rivers of water. And when the storms come and the difficulties come, and they will, storms will always come. Difficulties will always come. You will be one who stands because you are tapped into the Word of God. It also says your leaves won't wither, and that whatever you do will prosper. God told Joshua, only be careful to do everything that is written in the Word of God, and then you will have success, and then you will prosper. Not only does the Bible tell us that God's Word allows us to grow like trees planted by rivers of water, but in 2 Timothy 3:16, this is my favorite verse, by the way, shouldn't shock you that a pastor's favorite verse would be 2 Timothy 3:16. It tells us that God's Word has everything that we need to be complete. It says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The word inspiration there is only used one time in the Bible. In fact, it's not used very often in Greek at all, but it means God breathed. It says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. God's Word is profitable for you, for correction, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing, complete. Isn't that a great verse? What do you need? Do you need the latest thing? Do you need the latest book that's out there written about church philosophy or philosophy about God? Do you need these people that are turning away from God and turning away from the Bible to try to have a conversation amongst themselves about who God is? Do you need anything out there besides what is written in the Word of God to be complete? It's just a lie that there's something out there that you need besides God's Word. It has everything you need. I'll tell you, when we started at the end of October in 1985, we had 6 people. That was me, my wife, our worship leader, his wife, and one other couple that came, the very first meeting that we had. And in those years, there's been the temptation for me to bring messages on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights that are unlike anything you've ever heard. You guys would come to church and leave and go, man, Pastor Robert really shared, I never heard that before. That's awesome. But that temptation left me a long time ago because I learned what I need to do is bring you to the Word of God. It's all I need to do. I don't need to bring you some new thing. I don't need to show you how witty I am and being able to come up with something new. In fact, the Bible seems to say, and in fact, I think confidently can say, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. All I got to do is bring you to the Word of God. It's like the green pastures. We're a bunch of sheep. We just go to the Word of God and feed. And we're gonna be complete in everything we've got. If you feel like you're missing something, if you feel like your Christianity isn't what it's supposed to be, it's not less of Jesus that you need. It's not less of the Word of God that you need. It is more of the Word of God that you need. Because everything in Him, everything in the Word, makes us complete. The Bible says in 1 Peter that everything that we need for life and godliness comes from the knowledge of God. Now listen to that statement again. Everything that we need for life and godliness comes from the Word of God, our knowledge of God, which we receive from His Word. That's all we need. We need Him. Now, not only does the Bible tell us that we are complete, but in Ephesians 26, speaking of the role of the husband, it says that husbands are to love their wives the way that Christ loves the church, gave Himself up for her and died for her, and washed her and sanctified her by the Word. Now, in that verse, we're told that Jesus sanctifies us and cleanses us by the Word of God. God's Word sanctifies us. Now, what does the word sanctify mean? It means being made holy. To be sanctified means to be made holy. Being sanctified is the process by which you are being made holy. Every Christian in here, every believer in here, is being sanctified, right? You haven't arrived yet, have you? Anybody here arrived yet? Anybody here right where they need to be spiritually? You're perfect. You don't need any changes. All right, my hand's not up, by the way, because I haven't arrived yet either. And if you are here and you say, no, I have arrived. I've been completely sanctified. I don't need God's Word anymore. We're going to say to you, liar. There's none of us that don't need to be sanctified. God's Word sanctifies us. Now, not only does God's Word sanctify you, work out holiness in your life, God's Word empowers you against sin so that you can win against temptation. The Bible says in Psalms 119, how can a young man keep his ways pure? But by giving heed to the Word of God. David himself said, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. Phenomenal. Why? Because we all struggle with sin. And some of you here may say, well, I don't struggle with sin. I know, you just give into it. But you need to struggle against sin. You need to come to that place where you say, I am going to live a holy, pure, righteous life for Him. And taking God's Word into our lives allows us to be able to win and be victorious over sin. The Word of God also reveals. The Bible says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's impossible to have faith if we don't hear, learn, and grow by the Word of God. The Bible tells us that God's Word is planted like a seed in our lives. Now, in understanding this, and I've just covered a few of the verses that I had planned, I've just gone over a list of verses that tell us the work of God in our lives. It makes us like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It makes us complete, thoroughly equipped, where we're lacking in nothing. It cleanses us, it sanctifies us, it gives us a battle against sin. It's like light that shines. We have all of that in our lives. However, if your heart isn't right, then God's Word is going to fall on it and not make an effect. Well, we come to church and we hear His Word because we want God's Word to make an effect upon us. So Jesus told this parable. He said there's a sower who goes out to sow seeds. Some of the seed fell upon the pathway, and the birds of the air came and stole it. Some of it fell on rocky ground, and it grew up quickly. But then because there was no depth, it withered away. Some fell among the weeds. The weeds choked it out. And some fell on good ground. And the seed that fell on good ground produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. It produced a crop that was 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, we want God's word to be effective, don't we? I mean, you guys are here. You're here on Sunday morning. You don't have to be here. You've made it a priority in your life to say, you know what? I'm going to fight the traffic on Speedway and the construction, and I'm going to go to church. So you've prioritized that within your life. But you realize that your heart might not be right to receive God's word. I think there are some, I don't know who you are, because I can't see it from the outward, right? But there are some of you here, and your heart's hard. It's like stony ground. The word falls on it. You say, well, I go to church and I'm just not moved anymore. It's not challenged by God anymore. You get more emotional watching The Biggest Loser than you do out of anything that God ever does. And if that's the case, then it's worth saying, Lord, is my heart hard? Bust it up. Do what you've got to do. Fall on your face before him. Become contrite. Call out to him. Weep over your sin. Break your heart up. Make the ground of your heart soft to be able to receive his word. Listen, it's such an important issue because you may do everything. You might read God's word every day. You might study it. You might memorize it. You may go to church where you hear it preached every week. But if it lands on a hard heart, it's just going to get stolen, right? The enemy's going to swoop in and take it away, and it's never going to begin to do what God's word needs to do. Now, some of you guys have a hard heart on purpose. Some of you guys are a bit cold and hard and distant from God. You're not open to him. You're not open to his work. You're here in church, but maybe you're here in church because you have a drug problem. You've been drugged to church. That's your problem. Your heart isn't open to the things of God. You need to open them to God. You need to say, you know what? I'm going to start living for him. Now, I also realize there are some of you guys here, and although your heart is soft towards God, you've got rocks that are in your head. No, the rocks that are in your heart. You've got, Jesus said, the plant grows up quickly, but then when temptation comes, you fall away. So you've decided to follow him and serve him, but you find that there's no depth, and keeping any kind of consistency in your Christian walk is just, it's just really, really difficult. You got to get rid of the rocks. You've got to go in. What kind of things are you living for? What kind of things are you doing? Is there something in your life that is keeping you from following after him totally? Is there something in your life that is keeping temptation in your life so that you find yourself never really being able to gain any depth? There's only one way to get rid of it. You got to do the hard work. You got to go out in the field. You got to grab the rocks and you got to throw them over. That was one of the hardest things that a farmer had to do. He'd go out and break up his ground. There'd be big rocks there. He had to pick up those rocks, carry those rocks out of the field, and stack them up along the side. And oftentimes in farming ground where there's rocks, you can see stone walls that have been made by the rocks that have been collected in the actual field. We need to get rid of the rocky soil. You may have weeds. Now, what did Jesus say the weeds were? They were the cares and the worries of this life, the things that make us wring our hands, the things that make us lose sleep at night. What am I going to do? We're going to lose our house. We're going to lose our car. What are we going to do? You know, if you lost your house, what? Would that be like eternity for you? Sometimes we take the things of this world and we make them far more important than the real things, the things that matter, your family, your home, your children, your spouse. We worry about it. We wring our hands. That chokes out the word of God. Also, he said living for pleasure instead of living for God, living for comfort, living for pleasure. Is like a weed. The seeds fall among those things. And even though you're ready to receive it, it chokes it out. You can't really live for those because your life is consumed with other things. Finally, the good soil. I realize there are many of you guys here today and you've got good soil. You've broken up the ground. You've removed the rocks. You've taken the weeds out. You're living wholeheartedly for him. When the word of God falls upon you, it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, in the time that I have remaining, let me get really practical with you guys, if I can. How is it that we receive God's word in our lives? How is it that we can hold fast to it? First of all, you've got to make sure that the church that you attend preaches, teaches the word of God. I don't mean a verse here and a verse there, but actually teaches God's word. When I was, again, a teenager, the church that I attended began to teach the book, I'm Okay, You're Okay, from the pulpit. Instead of opening up their Bible to a certain passage and saying, we're going to look at this passage today, they would open up, I'm okay, you're okay, to chapter 2, and then he would talk about that. I remember many sermons in the church that I grew up in. I remember I was singing in the choir, which is a scary thought in itself. But I remember one sermon where he talked about a spider. As the spider came down from my bathroom wall onto the faucet on my sink and down into the sink, so God is in our lives. Now, I don't know what a spider has to do with God and life, but those are so many of the sermons that I heard. There were so many different just analogies and ideas that were not the Word of God. What a waste of time. What a waste of time for every person in a church today where God's word isn't taught. Because it can't do. No matter how nifty or witty or sharp the things that I would come up with, how would they ever be able to do what God's word says that it would do? Now I realize you guys are here. Hey, we go through the word of God verse by verse. However, you know, you may move. God may move you on. Make sure that you are in a church that teaches God's word, or get as far away from it as you can. Find a church that teaches God's word. Number two, you got to take God's word into your life. In some way daily, you got to be receiving God's word. Read your Bible. You don't have to read 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 chapters a day. Just read it. Read it until you get something out of it. You know what I found is that if I read the Bible with a pencil or a highlighter in my hand, it's so much more effective for me because I'm kind of saying to God, I'm going to find something worthy of underlining here or highlighting, right? If you just read your Bible like, oh, I got to read my Bible before I go to bed. Amen. There we go. You don't remember a thing you read. But if you have a highlighter in your hand, you know what I find about many of you guys? When you start underlining your Bible and highlighting your Bible, you underline and highlight everything. You're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. You ever pick up somebody's Bible like that? Everything is highlighted. I always like to find the one verse that isn't highlighted. What's wrong with that verse? You highlighted everything else in the Bible, but that verse, there must be something really seriously wrong with that particular verse of the Bible. Use technology. There are all kinds of Bible reading programs that are out there. There's all kinds of daily devotion software that you can get. There's an app for that, by the way. There's an app for memorizing scripture. Use technology. We live in a time where we have more access to Bible study tools than at any other time in history. When I first started teaching, I had a library. And in my library, I had commentaries through the entire Bible. I had Bible dictionaries. I had encyclopedias, Bible encyclopedias. I had manners and customs, which I could go back and I could look at the manners and customs of different cultures in the past. I had reference books by which I could look up different topics. I had my library, had all kinds of things. I had to go in that room, sit down, shut the door, and I'd have access to my books as I studied. I don't use them anymore. I still have them. I don't use them anymore. The only way that I use them is I have a library that has a whole bunch of books in them along my office on the West Campus. People walk in and go, wow, these are a lot of books. Yeah, I never open them up anymore. You know why? Because on my computer, I have something called, I have a Mac, I have something called Accordance. Accordance is a Bible program. And in that Bible program, I have a library that is every bit as extensive as I had when I used to study out of that office. But I take it with me everywhere I go. I'm in a laptop computer, I go on a plane, I open it up, boom, what does the manager custom say about that? Boom, and I can, what do the Greek words say? What's a Greek word study? You can do it through Google. You don't even need to have Accordance. Now understand, when you do it through Google, you're going to get all kinds of weirdnesses, right? So you got to have your weirdness meter on. Weirdo, weirdo, weirdo. You look for people. I always got to go back. When you type something into Google, you know, you're saying, what does that word mean in the Greek? Type it in. You pull up an article on it. Find out who wrote that article. You spread it reading and you go, oh, it's the Mormons. And I'm a Mormon. Oh, we don't want that from there. You want to make sure you get it from the right and the proper place, right? But use that technology. I said there's an app for that. I have an app on my iPhone for memorizing the Bible. I click on it. It's got a couple little different things that you do to be able to memorize different verses and go through it. Now, a lot of the verses I've gone through are ones that I've already committed to memory in the past, but there's been a few verses, oh, never thought about memorizing that verse. Listen, I've memorized verses in the Bible since I was probably 10, 11, 12. There are verses that I memorized when I was 12 that I still quote to you guys. There are verses when I'm talking with someone, they ask, you know, if I got this going on in my life, what do I need to do? And I start to give them just some counsel. And I always want my counsel to be the Word of God. I don't want to just give my philosophies, my feelings. I always want to have what I say to be backed up by God's Word. And I quote verses I memorized when I was 12 and 13. It has never been a waste for me to bring God's Word into my life, to memorize it. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. When you come to something and you don't know what it is, what does this mean? Study it. Look it up. Memorize God's Word. When you do, if your heart is right, then you're going to become like that tree planted by the rivers of water. We live in a time when we have greater access to study tools than at any other time in history. We ought to know more about God's Word. You realize that there were many churches during many of the centuries past that didn't even have complete copies of the Bible. We not only have complete copies of the Bible, we have access in just phenomenal ways to be able to study it. Let's prepare our hearts, get rid of the rocks, get rid of the weeds, break up the fallow ground to receive God's Word and bring God's Word into our lives, because there's nothing. I had said in the beginning of the study, and I'll end here, that this book is unprecedented. There's nothing like it. Never has there been a book as attacked as what the Bible has and able to stand. But this book is also unprecedented in another way. There's no other book that you can read that can change you like the Word of God. We take what it is and it works in us. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the soul and the spirit. It's able to get into where we can't even see. It works in the hearts of those who believe, it says in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And God said, my word will go out and accomplish what I've sent it out to do. And then he uses this analogy. He says, as rain falls upon the land and causes it to turn green, so God's word falls upon your life and causes it to green up. We understand that analogy, don't we? We live in the desert. When there's a drought or we go through the dry season, we look at the cactuses get all shriveled up. They start to look like raisins, right? They droop a little bit. But after rain, we've had some rain here lately, cactuses look healthy and strong. God wants you to look healthy and strong, not like some dried up raisin, right? May God use this message, this time today, to stir our hearts up towards his word. And if you forgot the importance or the power of God's word in your life, may it be time to take it up, dust it off, begin to read it again, prioritize God's word in your life, and you will find all of the promises that God has given about his word, which I only touched on a few today, you will find them true about you. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you again. We're so blessed to be able to gather together here, and we pray for our fellowship, the love that we have for one another, that you would continue to knit our hearts together. We also thank you for your word, which tells us about the word, which tells us about how what we can gain from studying your word and reading your word. Lord, we want to make it a priority within our lives. It is a priority for this church. We want it to be a priority for us daily. May we discover the completeness, everything that we need for life and godliness that comes from your word. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.